The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
706 means the final hour of the show. Always a pleasure to have you along. Phone number is 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Tremendous thanks and appreciation to Ned Jones, the Deputy Director at the Election Integrity Network at the Virginia Institute for Public Policy. And for people who are asking, the first website, the best, the starting point website I would send everybody to is whoscounting.us. W-H-O-S, whoscounting.us. Great place to start to figure out how to get involved. And if you're, you know, deeper into politics than a casual listener and a regular voter and someone who's willing to talk to neighbors and all that, and you want to get more deeply involved, just reach out to me. Text me, text to the studio on the 710KNUS app, or email me at any of my multiple emails. rbc4colorado@gmail.com is a good one and pretty easy one, I would hope to remember. My good buddy, Dave in Missouri, dear friend, listening on the show and heard our conversation about Eric and the states that got out, and he was so thrilled to send me the text that said Missouri kicked Eric out. And absolutely. And it's fascinating because, you know, the circle is getting smaller and smaller. Because I was on a call just a couple, maybe 3 weeks ago, with that included John Ashcroft, who is the Attorney General of Missouri, and who actually is the person who signed the letters, offered the ways to fix Eric, and so Missouri would stay with Eric if they would make certain changes. Eric did not. Ashcroft pulled out. And if that name sounds familiar to you, it should, man. He was the 79th United States Attorney General under George W. Bush for 4 years, 2001 to 2005. He was a U.S. Senator from Missouri. He was the 50th Governor of Missouri. He founded the Ashcroft Group, which is a Washington, D.C. lobbying firm. And now he's back serving the people of Missouri courageously as their Attorney General. And he took folks out of Eric. So... I love the small world. Dave, thanks for listening. Love you, brother. And let's go to the phones now. Jack in Cheyenne is here. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I hope your wife does well. I hope you don't go through what I went through. I
really do. Man. Thank you.
But
thank
let me
you.
Go. Let me jump to the topic in politics. What's missing, and from 90,000 feet above, if you look down, conservatives are focused on capitalism for the benefit of all of society. That's not only national, but that's global. That's where conservatives want. They want everybody to excel. Okay. Liberals, on the other hand, are embracing communism. And what they don't understand is totalitarianism fails every time it's tried. Where did they go to school? Tell me, where did they learn this garbage about communism?
You'll have to answer your own question, Jack.
Okay. Love you, brother.
It's all mostly because I have no voice. I don't know if you can tell. I'm turning the show over to you. Can you do an hour?
You know, I don't have the time for it, but if you wanted me in the studio, it would be a very interesting hour. Because you know, I'll go knee to knee and toe to toe with anybody on this planet anytime you want me to.
You know, it's interesting you bring up totalitarianism. Listen to this clip that Lewis put together for me from Joe Rogan today.
The culture shift between right and left authoritarianism, and now people don't recognize that if you just stopped looking at it in terms of red and blue, look at the actions, whether it's war, suppression of free speech, pharmacological interventions that are mandatory, right. whatever the it is. That used to all be associated with the authoritative right, the authoritarian right. And now those things are being embraced by the left. And I just think it's just an ideology thing. And I think we get confused and we think, we're on the right side. We're on the right side. And if it's our side that's saying this, for sure that's the right thing to do. And no one's critically thinking about this.
Jack, if you were listening at the end of last hour, Ned Jones and I were talking about our optimism. And when I hear, when I found that audio from Joe Rogan today, and I'm not a Joe Rogan listener, I've never listened to a full podcast, but when I heard that clip, I knew we had to play it because, you know, the culture precedes the politics. And Joe Rogan is the culture, the biggest podcast on earth, I think, still. And he's talking about it. It's got to be waking people up.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Rogan, and I'm not familiar with a million things, but I am kind of familiar with conservatism. I understand the structure of law all the way back to Draco. I mean, other than Peter Boyles, I don't think there's anybody that's read more than I have. And I think my thinking is a little bit different than Peter's, which is why I don't talk to him anymore. But anyway, let me just hit you with this. We are at a crossroads as to whether or not communism is going to take over this country. And if you want to talk to me for 5 hours, I can give you the structure of everything for 100 years where communism is through the course and through the hammers and through Barack Obama and everything that has taken place to put this country and this world. If you get this country, you got the world. If you can get the United States, you've got the world. If you can get communism into this country, you've got the communist world. And that's what's going on. That's what's at play now. There's never been a time in history that's more important than this. Maybe you and I should have a beer. Okay, man.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Hey, he bought me another 2 minutes there, didn't he? That was awesome. 303-696-1971. Jack's line is open. You know, I've been saying similar things for a long, long time. If, of course, they have to take down America. The question is, why are there people who actually live in this country who claim to have dedicated their lives to serving this country, like Joe Biden, for God's sake, wanting to help them do it? What happens in your mind? What happens in your forward thinking? Is it that you make yourself so rich and so insulated and you create so much individual power for yourself that you just don't care about the impact on the average man, the average Joe? We heard little snippets from the Donald Trump rally. And the reason Donald Trump's popularity is not diminishing, will not diminish. I fully expect him to be the Republican nominee for president, charged or not, is because he speaks to those people. He speaks their language. He talk about a man who lives in an ivory tower. I've been to Mar-a-Lago a couple of times. I know what the lifestyle is for a Donald Trump, at least from the outside or the inside, but not looking deep inside, you know. But he gets it. He's always made that connection. He's always been America first. Even when he was a rough and tumble construction guy and playing politics on both sides and supporting Democrats, and early in his life when he was a pro-choice Democrat, all of those things, you can easily find the old clips on interviews that he did with Oprah or others where he foresaw where this country was going. Nobody could have seen us going this far, so fast, so quickly down the toilet. But he saw it. He warned about it. He said, we can't let it happen. He talked about China. He talked about the Pennsylvania coal miner. I just looked up, we played that audio from The Liar, a lot of liars tonight, John Kerry, where he was talking about climate change. And we have to overlook the other problems that we're having with China because it is so critical that we bring China in. They're creating more alternative energy than anybody. China, right now, actually, this was a year ago, and they're building them at 2 a week. So let's see, about 104 a year. Or let's say 6, 7, 8 months, 32, 64. So add about 64 more coal plants. Mainland China. And they're not clean. China is full of coal. They're belching it out into the atmosphere for all of you lefties that are so terrified of carbon dioxide. 1,118 coal plants in mainland China as of July of last year, and they're building them twice, new ones opening up at the average rate of twice a year. India is the next highest competitor for coal plants, 285. China, close to 1,200 by now. India, 285. The United States, July last year, 225 coal plants. But we actually use, implement, require, mandate the technology to make our coal plants clean. Japan, Indonesia, and others don't. None of them have even 100 coal plants. So China, John Kerry's best friend on the climate crisis. Can you imagine how stupid the dictator of China thinks that John Kerry actually is to spout the bullcrap that comes out of his mouth? And they're still pumping them up. They're still building them just as fast as they can because they know energy is the key. And they got a ton of coal, so they don't have to rely on anybody else. What Jack said was so profoundly correct. If you take down America, that's the ball game. Trevor Loudon has been on this show many, many times, and he said that's why he's here from the little island down under, the other one, New Zealand. Because China, the ships from China are closing in on that little home of his. And he knows what the target is. It's been the target for 100 years. Was it Brezhnev? I don't remember who said it, that said that they would take America without firing a single shot. And they do it by coming into the schools, by coming into the culture. But now even Joe Rogan is talking about it. Bill Maher, we play clips from Bill Maher all the time because he sees, he understands just how dangerous what's going on the other side is. And I'm still so excited because we are going to win this battle. I know everybody's waiting for the Ted Nugent national anthem. Everybody's waiting for my personal story. I got to do some judging of a type this last week, and a woman, as I was leaving the competition, just absolutely made my day. And I want to share those stories with you. Before we take any breaks, let's go back to the phones. Guy is here. Guy in Inglewood, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Randy. Hey, just to tell you how bad it is in China. We adopted a couple little girls from mainland China 3 years apart. They're now 25, 21, so we got them 24 years ago. First time we went to Changsha Hunan, the land of Mao, and there was a halo around the sun on a sunny day, and you could taste the pollution in the air. Second time we went to Chongqing, China, 16 million people, largest population in China. And on a sunny day, it was gray, and you could taste it in the air. So there's a disparity here with what we have to do versus what China has to do. And we got to take the country back. That's all I have to say.
Guy, thank you very much for weighing in and sharing the personal experience. It's just so critically important. And what a wonderful thing to do, to adopt and raise and now have a lifetime of those adopted children. That is particularly cool. And I commend you and your wife for doing that. But yeah, you can taste it in the air. And they don't care because they're the power-hungry dictator and all of his power structure. They've got their eye on the entire world. And so, you know, they're coming out of their 100 years of darkness, their 100 years of shame. And we have Qi not whispering even. They were just caught on an open mic talking to Putin about the new 100 years that's coming in the midst of the biggest change ever. And I just say, not so fast, buddy. We are still the United States. I know Biden likes to say this. We're the United States of America, and we can do anything if we put our minds to it. But it's true. And the citizens of the United States of America are damn sick and tired of how they're being treated, what they're being exposed to, how we're wasting our children's lives in schools that suck and damage them and encourage cutting off their body parts, suicide rates and drug rates so incredibly high. And we're done. I really believe COVID was one of the great awakenings. And I know it's a big part of what cost us a presidential election, because it allowed Democrats to create unconstitutional laws and rules and processes and procedures that allowed them to steal an election. And yet, with all of it in place, they only beat the 2020 incumbent, Donald J. Trump, by about 44,000 votes. It ain't going to happen again. Is there anybody out there that you'd rather see than Donald Trump running for the Republican nomination? Would love to hear from the DeSantis supporters, and especially from anybody who's endorsing or looking forward to or hoping some other person gets in. Come and make your case. I hope we have spirited debates about that as we move forward. But I think these illegal and ridiculous and vile efforts to take Donald Trump out of the political process with trumped up, bogus, phony criminal charges is one of the most despicable things that I've ever seen. The judge who's handling the January 6 case, or maybe it's the judge who's handling the documents. Well, it doesn't matter, because what the Obama appointee did was set aside something that's kind of important in the American justice system, and that is the right to speak confidentially to your attorney. She set it aside. She made the decision, a judge, that because she thinks Donald Trump lied to his attorney, that that violates or exposes or vitiates or eliminates the attorney-client privilege. I've never heard of it before. Of course I have criminal clients who come in and lie. Of course I do. I know that. It's sometimes funny to watch the progression. I didn't do it. Well, they've got pictures of you there. Well, that was at a different time. Or, yeah, but I didn't actually steal anything. Or I never laid a hand on her. Or whatever it is. You know, the stories change over time. That's sort of the nature of criminal defense. But it doesn't just apply to criminals or accused criminals. It applies to anybody who talks to their lawyer privately about civil issues. They're being sued for something they said, something they did. They don't always tell the truth, which is why cases probably don't settle quicker. You have to see just what the other side can prove before you decide how far you're willing to go with the client or the case or the facts that you have. But the only way this adversary system works, for all of its flaws, all of its delays, all of its incredible expense, the best system still in the entire world, the only way it works is if clients can have confidentiality, assured confidentiality with their attorneys and a judge for political reasons. There can't be any other. There's no legal precedent for it. Ordered an attorney to come in and speak openly to, I believe, the grand jury about private conversations with his client. This is the depths that they will go to stop this man and stop the turnaround. They know they're this close. They're this close to sealing the deal and stealing our youth, stealing our freedom, stealing our money, stealing our position in the world and our ability to defend ourselves individually as a nation and for our allies. They're this close and they know it. And there's primarily one man standing in their way. They know that too. But there's also about 300 million armed Americans who are not going to let go of their freedoms that easily. Be very interesting to see what happens from comes out of these exposed attorney-client communications between Donald Trump and the attorney, I think his name is Corcoran. Not Corcoran, Corcoran. What do they think? How long do they think that we're going to put up with this nonsense? They're terrified of the next election, and they're using every power they have in the justice system, the injustice system, the Department of Justice, the FBI, now a state prosecutor from Manhattan, New York, way, way, way outside of his lane. I promise to break some of that down. We'll see how my voice holds up. I've also got some audio to play for you. But you know, this stuff is going to move very slow over the next few months, very slowly, and we'll have plenty of time to break it down if we don't get it done tonight. In the meantime, it's time for a break. Our phone number, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. We've got the Ted Nugent National Anthem. I've got my story, my judgment. I just think you'll enjoy this story, and it was a very impactful week for me, and I do want to share it with you. We'll do that and more when we return here on 710 KNUS. I always loved fighting the law, especially as a kid. Fortunately, I grew up and found a better way to do it as a lawyer and just hold people in power in check, from the cop on patrol who gets out of hand to, you know, up through the courts and our government officials, etc. Just so very important to do. Welcome back. Before we get back to the phone calls, and everybody sit tight, first I've got to remind you about my friends at Cenogenics. And imagine having a doctor that knows everything there is to know about you. They know about your heart and how your brain function and the hormones and blood, the things that your body needs, because they take the time through thorough testing and lengthy conversations to educate you and learn everything there is to know about you. And then they create a specific plan to help you, especially if you're getting older, as I am, to manage the things that happen to all of us as we get older. Those doctors are Dr. Julie McCallan and Dr. Watt at Cenogenics. And since I've been through this with them, I know what it's like to be able to reach out, have a problem, have a question, and actually get a call back. A call back from your own doctor. Can you imagine such a thing? At Cenogenics, you're cared for by the great doctors and staff that help you achieve peak cognitive, physical, and metabolic health. Get that energy back that you're missing. Get that lust for life. Maybe that lust for your significant other back. Because life is too short and your health is too precious to trust in just anyone. You know, if you go to one of your regular insurance companies, they just assign you to a doctor. You're stuck with whatever you get. Don't settle for mediocre, long waits for test results, calls that don't get returned. Expect the best, and you'll get it if you call Cenogenics. Call them this weekend. Leave a message. I know they'll call you back right away on Monday. 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. Or it's easy to remember this. Visit them at denver.cenogenics.com. Denver.cenogenics.com. Everybody on the phone, everybody on the air, everybody listening online, please remove your hats. Put your right hand over your left heart and enjoy this with me. Yeah. dude is 74 years old now, Ted Nugent. And I've been around him several times. He's been in Colorado. We had a big event for Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams out on the island. He came in for a fundraiser. It's kind of rainy, but he played and talked and inspired. And I know the man, you know, kills what he eats and eats what he kills, but patriot extraordinaire. And that was the national anthem played at the Trump rally to open up. I'm definitely finding the video of that. I don't know how well it sounded on AM radio. But anyway, my show, no voice, do what I can. All right, this ought to be interesting. We're going to take these calls in order, so we will start with Sluggo in Denver. Sluggo, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Man, I am good. I love your name.
Yeah, I kind of like it too, you know? But, you know, I think I want my own radio show. You guys are fabulous. I've always listened to all of you, especially Peter, when he was on regularly, and I'd like to do that.
Well, it's a lot of fun. So the podium is yours, sir. What would you like to talk to your audience about?
Unity. Those that are out there that are actually trying to fight this fight, I think are still separate. And I run across that myself because I've run across a situation that is horrible beyond belief. There are people in the neighborhood that are wholesale slaughtering domestic animals. I know you weren't ready for that, but that's what I was advised to do, is call in, because I couldn't get a hold of Peter this morning, and he said, try this one, and this one.
Who is slaughtering animals?
Some of the neighbors have gotten together and decided that that's what they needed to do, and near as I can tell, and I'm not trying to be racist, I'm just stating a fact, that none of them have attained, they're not legal in this country.
So what animals are being slaughtered?
Cats and probably small dogs that I can ascertain.
For food, or for what reason?
I think so, because they're being sold. Cars line up, pick them up. They're in white bags.
Good Lord. Well, this would be an interesting story to pursue. Do you have photographs, pictures, video, anything like that?
Not to the extent that you'd expect it. And that's kind of the problem, but I've stayed on top of this quite well.
What part of town is it?
Let's just say that it's not, well, I can't say that it's not in Denver.
Purgatory. We refer to it by its real name, Purgatory.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right. Well,
Sluggo, send me a picture, and then I'll give you a call, and because I don't like that idea. And if it's real, it ought to be exposed. God bless you, sir.
I've been trying to do that for over 3 weeks, and so far, none of the LEs are interested in talking.
rbcfor.colorado@gmail.com. God bless you, sir. My wife would not tolerate the death of any cat. She is a cat whisperer. She's a horse and cat whisperer. It's amazing. Her favorite cat, who we almost lost a few weeks ago, is now back, 17, doing great. But he's like a dog. He follows you around, talks, doesn't bark, doesn't really wag his tail. He's definitely a cat. He's a Tonkinese, so he's like a bat with a cat's body, kind of a Siamese and bat combination. Smartest cat I've ever seen. So I'm a dog guy, developed a love. Don't know if that call was real or not, but you know, if a guy's willing to wait and get on the air, we'll listen. And if he actually follows up, wouldn't that be something, if domesticated animals are being slaughtered? Let's try and squeeze one more in, keep people off of hold. Mark in Arvada, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi there, Randy. I'm on a speakerphone. Is that okay?
It doesn't sound bad. It would probably be better if you weren't.
Okay. I got a catch-22. I as far as coal goes, I'm fortunate to have the family has stock in a coal company in Colorado, and it is just unreasonably escalated in value to a, that is just incredible. But all of our coal is being shipped to the Asian countries and then to eventually Europe apparently now. And it's just a shame, and it's a, like the cleanest coal you can get mined in Peonia. And it's just unfortunate that it's going elsewhere than being used here.
Well, that's fascinating and is definitely very troubling. Now, I think China especially is very rich in their own coal, so they're probably not buying. But you're saying that we're still producing it, we're still mining it, we're just shipping it out and not taking advantage of a resource that we have learned here in America how to use in a very clean and environmentally friendly way.
We've owned the stock since my great-great-grandfather, along with another partner, bought it in 1926.
Yeah, you must be sitting pretty. Has the stock gone down since the Biden administration came in and shut down American coal?
No.
No. So the demand around the world is significant. So another...
No, we're going from like $7, $8, $9, $10 a stock to $120.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and it's just like, wait, which, you know, so it's a catch-22.
Yeah. This is...
It's like, wow. It's like, wow, the dividends we're getting? But it's like, it should be kept here.
Well, I have no problem selling it, but we ought to use it as well. You know, we've got an abundance of that, abundance of oil, abundance of natural gas. Donald Trump showed us how to do it. Energy independent, gallon of gas under $2. Soon we would have been energy dominant, and I believe we'll be again very, very quickly if Donald Trump is reelected. But
I hope so, but he just needs to, at times, it's frustrating.
Mark, I just couldn't. I couldn't disagree with you more. What does he need to do? Why does he need to back down? People are trying to put him in jail for crimes that don't exist. He's been shut down and attacked by the agencies that he was the head of, the commander-in-chief, the executive of the United States of America, and everybody tried to stop and push back. And we're going to whine because, what, he does a mean tweet or when he used to tweet? I mean, what's your complaint?
Oh, no. I mean, okay.
No, I'm serious, and I don't mean to be critical because a lot of people feel the way that you do. I'm just trying to understand it. We got a country on a verge of collapse. Somebody strong enough to withstand it all, who's already showed us over the course of 4 years what he can do, and people are still talking about what Trump needs to change. All right, well, give it some thought.
Somehow being more humble or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's not
happening. It was just frustrating. I realize it's not going to happen.
No,
it's a shame that we're going in the direction we are.
Yeah, but it's not his fault. He's the one who was turning it around.
Oh my gosh, he did great. And I mean, it was just so refreshing.
And Mark, I'll just ask you to do one thing. We're real late on the break, but observe these Trump rallies. And you know, I was with Trump when he made his presidential announcement, and it was sort of the most sedated, policy-oriented, stayed on teleprompter for the most part, Trump that I've ever seen. And the little bit of dip-ins that we did for this first rally in Waco that was on tonight, they didn't seem like they seemed like a Trump who's now been president and knows what it takes. So
and it's frustrating that the left just doesn't. When he made his speech on January 6th or whatever, he's like, we're going to do this peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't hear anything about that.
That's right. And instead of, and you know, I've got big-time Republicans telling me all the time that that's why it's time to move on from Trump. And I say, no, it's time that we educate the folks that are buying into the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine narrative and educate them. Because we need, and it may be a DeSantis, it may be Trump, I don't know, but we need somebody like that. And we're not going to get there if we keep buying the lies that are shoved down our throat every single day. Mark, we got to fly. Really,
it was wonderful that somebody had the balls to to speak their mind and go forward with, I mean, be positive and about our country.
Yep. Change, not a thing. Thank you, Mark. Have a good rest of your weekend, sir. All right. Got to jump to the break. Last segment of the show. Whew. I'm Randy Corporan. Me and my voice, what's left of it, will be right back when we return on 710 KNUS. Haven't read any text messages, I don't think, tonight. Thanks, everybody, for sending them in. I like this one. They say DeSantis because he doesn't have the baggage. Trump's baggage, in quotes, Trump's, quote, baggage was made up by the left. Same thing they would do to anyone we like. Yeah. Mitt Romney, man, he was cruel to animals. He put his dog on a car carrier on his station wagon to go on trips. Great show, Randy. Thanks for toughing it out. Yeah, Dave, the voice, man, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. If you did get a chance to watch some of the Trump rally tonight, I certainly want to go back and see Ted Nugent doing that national anthem. And with the time I've spent with him now, I just, whenever I watch him work, I'm just 74. The dude is still on fire. But a lot of other folks spoke at the Waco Donald Trump rally, including Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz.
My governor today would probably be Andrew Gillum. How weird is that? And without Trump dragging Ted Cruz across the finish line, your senator would probably be Beta Beto. So Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, patriots of the MAGA movement delivered for you in your time of need. Today, Ron DeSantis and Ted Cruz should endorse Donald Trump for president and stand with us as we were so proud to stand with them. The best and the brightest of the Republican Party must unify under the Trump banner so that we can take on the evil leftists and socialists and communists. We've done it before, and we are the strongest team.
No doubt about it. There is simply no doubt about it. The largest political movement, maybe in history, certainly during my lifetime. And they shut us down. They locked us down and managed to squeak by, or most likely, in my mind, steal an election in 2020. And it's not going to happen again. If you missed the second hour of the show, Ned Jones from the Virginia Policy Center talked a great deal about not only Pam Anderson, the Republican nominee for Secretary of State back in 2022 and her ties to CTCL and what she's out saying and doing now, but we talked about Eric and why it's got to go out of the state of Colorado and some of the ways that it is creating opportunities for voting to not be fair, honest, or transparent. And when somebody calls in and says, I just wish Trump would, and then stops, I like this about Trump.
In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen.
My God,
we've got to let it happen.
Yeah, we got Newsmax on right now in the studio, and they're showing videos of people who are dying or passing out on air, just talking along and all of a sudden hitting them. These are part of the sudden death videos and the numbers that are just getting greater and greater with every passing day. And I believe related to the vax, somebody sent in a text earlier about the vax. I don't have time to pull it back up, but my response to it was, don't do it. It's stupid, period. My voice got lost, but I've got a couple of minutes here, so I can at least give you the kind of the short version on why this New York case is such nonsense. The charge that could be brought against Donald Trump is falsifying business records in the second degree. That's where it starts. Person is guilty of falsifying business records in the second degree when, with intent to defraud, He makes or causes a false entry in the business record of an enterprise, or alters, erases, obliterates, deletes, removes, or destroys a true entry in the business records of an enterprise, or omits to make a true entry in the business records of an enterprise in violation of a duty to do so, when he knows to be which he knows to be imposed upon him by law or by the nature of his position, or, last, prevents the making of a true entry or causes the omission thereof in the business records of an enterprise. So the claim against Trump is that he wrote a check to his lawyer, his disgraced convicted felon lawyer, Michael Cohen, for $120,000 that was to be paid as part of a settlement to Stormy Daniels for threats she was making to expose an affair, which, by the way, she later denied in writing. She paid him over $100,000 in attorney's fees. But setting all that aside, that's a misdemeanor in New York. The statute of limitations on a misdemeanor is 2 years. So way too late on that. So then the DA moves over to Section 175.10, falsifying business records in the first degree. Falsifying business records in the first degree happens when a person commits the crime of falsifying business records in the second degree, the one I just read to you, those four different ways to do it, and when his intent to defraud includes an intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof. That is a felony with a 6-year statute of limitations. Seems to me we may already be past that as well. But those are the only things that are being talked about. And so the DA is trying to make the case to the grand jury, we believe, that when that check was written, that was falsifying a business record in the second degree, but it becomes a first degree felony because it was done in order to impact or assist Donald Trump in the election, in the presidential election. So, you know, number one, Trump denies all of it. The star witness is a complete and utter liar. They produced a letter for that grand jury that said that Michael Cohen wrote where he denied the things that he's now accusing Trump of. And Hillary Clinton spent over $1 million on the Steele dossier and paid that through her law firms. What is it? Something like that. Over $1 million for this phony Steele dossier, clearly to try and take out Donald Trump, clearly to advance her interests in the 2016 election. And she was a resident, former senator, and a resident of New York. So any district attorney who wanted to try and tie these charges together could have done the same thing with her. She was convicted of doing it as part of an election finance violation and was ordered to pay $102,000 fine. So the grand jury case in New York appears to me is going absolutely nowhere. We'll talk about Georgia and others if they and as they come up. And if we ever get a hands on our indictment out of New York, I'm sure we can dismantle that one pretty darn easily. Appreciate you sticking with me as my voice faded away. And if you missed any of that second hour, make sure you go back and grab the podcast. Ned Jones was absolutely terrific. But I will be back next week live in studio. Always remember, please never, ever forget, God loves you. So do I. And I wish I could play Ted Nugent at the same time, but this is more important.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.